Wouldn't you figure a day after the Astros scored 13 runs with 5 home runs in one inning and 6 home runs in a whole game, and they limit the Red Sox to only 4 runs, wouldn't you expect that there'd be a little bit of a letdown? And that's what happened today's game. I mean, it started off with a bang. Jose Altuve hit a leadoff home run, but Nick Pivetta was like, no, we're not doing this again. And he shut things down for 9 innings, and he shut the Astros offense down. The defense was a little shaky, and we'll discuss this and more on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram, and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Hey, we're coming home. Always Stros.
All right, guys. Thank you for making the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen. We had a great day today. A lot of people are subscribing to us on YouTube, and you can do that too. All it takes is just go to YouTube, just hit Locked On Astros, hit that little red button, give us a like while you're there, and go and watch our podcast and go and listen to us on your way to work, on your way home from work, while you're at work. Just don't tell your boss you're doing it. Wink, wink. And go and make us your first listen every day. And we had an epic game on Tuesday, and we had an epic show. So check us out and make us your first listen. So today's game was not as epic. It was not as memorable, but there's some epic moments. I mean, you saw Jeremy Pena and kind of cut off Jose Altuve from catching up a pop fly in the infield, and Jose Altuve was just kind of standing there like, who do you think you is? You're the rookie. I'm the guy that's supposed to be taking all these. And so I know that Blummer was saying, oh yeah, they're gonna talk about this after game and be like, I'm the head honcho around here, you're young kid on block. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. The Astros offense, defense kind of let them down, namely Jeremy Pena and Jose Altuve. Then we had some Gurriel, a ball apparently went through his glove. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later. And then also Alex Bregman said that he thinks he has fixed what's going wrong with his bat. He had the day off. And Dusty Baker is giving us a preview. Since this was a late game today, and they have a long flight to get back to Houston, and then we have another game tomorrow, I expect to have a lot of veterans off tomorrow. So Dusty Baker,
great.
And then Jake Odorizzi, we do have an update on Jake Odorizzi, and it was similar to what we thought, just not quite as bad as we thought. So a lot of topics on today's Locked On Astros podcast. So let's go and get started on the Nick Pivetta show. That's what this is about, right? I mean,
let's not talk about Nick Pivetta. Let's start out with Astrocentric here. Let's not give Nick Pivetta more than he deserves. Luis Garcia today did not look good. He was not locating his pitches properly. He was leaving stuff out over the plate, gave up one home run. He did have 4 strikeouts. He had 3 walks. Five of the runs that were scored against him, 3 of them were earned. And that was it. You know, after he came out, the bullpen, Eric, did their job. Abreu put up 0s, got 2 strikeouts. Stanek put up a 0. And Montero came in and put up a 0 as well. So it looks like the Houston Astros just fell flat on a day after they had the outpouring, like you mentioned in the intro. But name a better duo. The Astros scored double-digit runs, and then they lay a stinker the next day. I don't know if that's a psychological or if that's a phenomenon or if that's a baseball gods just evening things out. But the bottom line is, this is the one series where I had them not winning in the month of May. It's the only series I had them not winning in the month of May. I actually had them going into Boston, losing the first two, winning the third one, and I got that flipped a little bit. But this is going to happen. And this team has been excellent, even when the bats haven't been performing, because the pitchers have held the line. And the starting pitcher, Luis Garcia, just didn't hold the line, because last time he faced the Red Sox, Eric, was in the ALCS, I believe. And he did excellent against them. And he it was, I believe, game six. And he had, what, seven or eight strikeouts. He only had one walk. Completely different showing today. You know, and the Red Sox, they've got a good lineup. They're severely underperforming what their potential is. They're in a tough division. But this starts and ends with Luis Garcia. You had mentioned the Yuli Gurriel error bobble. From what I understand, it seems a lot like, I don't know that that error should be charged. If it was charged to Yuli, should be charged to him. That ball was in the dirt from what I understand. And I know he grabs everything, but I think a lot of times when that ball goes in the dirt like that, the error typically will go to the guy who delivered the throw versus the guy who's trying to catch the ball.
Yeah. So, and I think Dusty, let me find the exact quote, but basically Baker said that it was a, in the glove, there's a little hole in it and it went through the glove. So I'm not going to really dwell on that. I don't think that it was just one little issue there. There's a whole bunch of things. This is what they said, that they scored an error on Jeremy Pena, but Yuli Gurriel should have caught the ball. Dusty Baker said the ball broke Yuli Gurriel's glove and went through the webbing, which is why he didn't catch it. So basically, it just went, you know, like in the movies where you see the ball going through the glove because it was thrown so fast.
Right. And that ball may not have done that had it not bounced, had it not been on a bounce. What I'm saying is, had it been a more solid throw, and that's why the error was on Pena. But, you know, hey, that's going to happen. He's your gold glove first baseman. He's one of the best first basemen in the league. The guy digs anything out of the dirt. So he's allowed a hiccup here or there.
Yes. So last year, this was what he did against the Boston Red Sox, Luis Garcia. It was game six. He pitched 5 2/3 innings. He allowed no runs. It was seven strikeouts, one walk, one hit. And the Astros went on to win that game 5-0. And in game two, it wasn't quite so good. In one inning, he gave up five runs and with two hits and two strikeouts, three walks. So this was more of kind of a mixture of the two games where he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great. And it just, the Red Sox offense is better than it showed. I know that JD Martinez's hitting streak was snapped today, but this offense was due to break out pretty soon. And so I just think that the Astros pitching dealt with fire all week, these three games. Luckily, the Astros scored 13 runs in the middle game. Otherwise, this could have been a sweep.
Yeah, I don't really know that I would call this game a game where their bats broke out, because they did only have five hits. So, but they did the damage on a triple, a double, and a home run. So, the three of their five hits were extra base hits, and that's where the damage was.
Right.
You know, and so at the end of the day, this is the 15-22 Boston Red Sox. We're the 24-14 Houston Astros in command of the AL West. And just like I said, before May, by mid-May, we would have first locked in. And now I don't know what the Angels will do tonight. I believe, I don't know if they're playing the Rangers or who they're playing tonight, but if the Angels can lose a game, it can help us out, because the Rangers are coming to town on Thursday, and we just keep going. There's no break until next week. So, you know what?
If there's no break in sight, you know, it'd be great to have
a Built Bar. Yep, that's right. I love brownies, and you know what? I love more brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making the brownies. Imagine if you could lick the brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. Well, you're in luck, because right now Built Bar has these great things called brownie batter puffs, and it is a protein infused marshmallow puff wrapped in 100% chocolate. It tastes like brownie batter. That's right. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar, and they are the perfect pick me up for you any day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. They are made with collagen protein that your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The brownie batter puffs will have you completely forgetting that you are eating a protein bar. No need to No need to pinch yourself. No need to wake yourself up from a dream. This is real life. Built.com is a place to go. Go to built.com and use a promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off at built.com.
And guys, sometimes dreams come true. Like yours truly was the star of the Locked On Now podcast. And millions and millions and millions of people were able to watch me on the Locked On Now podcast. And it's a great way of just looking around the great sport of baseball, 30 to 40 to 60 seconds in this case, of just talking about the game of baseball. And like yesterday, I talked about the 5 home runs. I'm sure the Red Sox host talked about how sucky was allowing 5 home runs in one inning. So if you want to make the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen, go check out the Locked On Now podcast. They do a great job of putting all the nows together, and it's just a good way to look at baseball from across the nation.
Now, I didn't realize it was millions watching. You never mentioned that when my nows make it on the show. Interesting.
That's how just you like 200 or something that watch.
Okay, yours. 200 million, right?
Millions, yes.
Oh, 200 watch me and million. Okay. No, hey, real quick, I want to send a shout out to Rip Griffin. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, you can't see it, but I'm wearing a red special Hooks variant jersey, worn by Jonathan Sprinkle himself in the game. It's actually autographed by him. We've interviewed him on the show. Rip Griffin, he won the shirt from the Hooks. He gifted it to me. So thank you. Supporting the Hooks, supporting Rip Griffin. Check him out at Texas Baseball Report. I appreciate it, bud.
All right. So if you're looking at today's game offensively, there wasn't too much. You had Michael Brantley with a double, Jose Altuve with a home run. Then not much else.
There was nothing else. There was only 2 hits. Nothing else. Much else was being generous. Eric, now, hey, who's the homer now? Who's the homer now? Or it's like, Eric's always positive, always strong. See, I'm usually that guy. I love it, Eric. Go ahead. Take it away.
Anyway, but Jeremy Pena, he, as good as he's looked, he looked overmatched versus Nick Pivetta. I know he had that ground out, but the 2 strikeouts, it looked like he was a little leaguer playing against. I mean, I'm not trying to diss him or anything, but that's just how good Pivetta was today. After that home run, he was under control. He was calm, and he had this pace against with him. He was going up there like he was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to keep them uncomfortable. I'm going to keep them so they don't get their timing down. And he was just going up there, just throwing pitch after pitch after pitch. And Jeremy Pena one time tried to call timeout. He did get time out called, but he still did not look comfortable up there. And a lot of these Astros hitters just did not look comfortable. Gurriel had 2 strikeouts on a day. Altuve, one of the guys that only got the RBI of the day, he had 2 strikeouts on today. So it just, Pivetta, to his credit, he limited the Astros. And this is a guy that came in with a 5-something ERA.
Yeah. You know, some days guys just have it. And Nick Pivetta did. This guy, he had basically 39 whiffs, 39 swings and misses, it looks like. He was throwing around 95, Eric. You know, he had the 4-seam fastball working, which is like basically 49% of his pitches. He has a knuckle curve and a slider. He rarely used the changeup tonight, but he looked really good. And when you look at velocity, when you look at not necessarily velocity, but actually 19 swings and misses. So let me get that correct. So 19 swings and misses, and he was just putting it in there. When you saw him, he was on his game. Pivetta has been kind of up and down since he's been with Boston. And when he's on, he's on. I mean, that's why he's a professional pitcher. That's why he was starting the game today. But a complete game is something we haven't seen out of our pitchers, because we talk about limiting innings. That's something that doesn't happen very often in this game, because pitchers aren't geared towards that. The clubs aren't focused on that statistically or analytically. And so for him to go 9 innings, that sure saves the heck out of their bullpen, because you saw what happened the day before when Eovaldi got absolutely demolished.
Granted, we're recording this at 8:51 at night, and the Rangers are playing the Angels right now. Shohei Ohtani is pitching. So the Angels have a 2-1 lead right now. So we'll see what happens in this game, but it's always fun to watch Ohtani pitch. He's got 6 strikeouts in 5 innings. He has allowed 1 run on 4 hits, but it's good to see.
I hope his ERA goes through the roof tonight.
Why? Why do you hate him?
No, I don't hate him. I hope his ERA goes through the roof because he's on the second place team. I want the Angels to lose. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike Trout. You know,
Trout hit a home run, by the way.
We want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. I don't know if I want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. He's a really dangerous hitter.
Yeah, and what's going on with the Yankees? Did the Yankees win today? Let me see.
Oh.
Yeah, the Yankees won. Of course they did because they're playing the
Orioles. Of course they did. They're playing Baltimore. They've basically played a bunch of below 500 teams. And, yeah, wow, good job. You've lost 9 games to the basement dwellers. And, of course, they're supposed to win those games. But get this, Eric. Our schedule started out tough. Theirs is easier. It flips. The Yankees' second half schedule, I looked up schedule probability or like strength of schedule. Second half, the Yankees are like one of the toughest schedules. The Astros got one of the easiest. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and the Astros already have the second best record in baseball with the one of the hardest schedules so far. But we'll see what happens. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but did you see the report about the word on the street is that Carlos Correa is going to only stay in with the Twins for 1 year. Yeah, we could have already told you.
Yeah, that. I was like, this is not news. Come on, Bleacher Report. Tell me something I don't know. Yeah. Like, if anybody was delusional enough to think that Carlos Correa was going to stay in Minnesota, Minnesota has a playoff drought. And ever since Kirby Puckett and all those Jack Morris and those guys retired, they've not been great. I'm sorry, Twins fans. I'm sorry, Twin Cities. But Carlos Correa and the two teams, Eric, I think are going to be going hard after him are San Diego and Toronto.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But Carlos Correa did return to the lineup, and the Twins dugout or clubhouse took it hard when Royce Lewis was not designated, but was returned to
AAA. He was optioned
down AAA. And the team actually grew pretty fond of him. And this guy has a promising career ahead of him. So if Carlos Correa does leave next year, then the Twins do have somebody to cover shortstop. And a lot of people are saying, well, why can't you just have Royce Lewis play a different position while you have Carlos Correa playing shortstop? And I think the Twins just wanted him to get more playing time at shortstop. He has missed some time due to injury, and so they want to get him used to playing shortstop, especially if this is the chance, if Correa is going. So we'll see what happens, but I know that Royce Lewis hit his first home run and the other day, and so this is somebody that the Twins have been looking forward to for a while, which is why I thought it was pretty surprising that they did go out and sign Carlos Correa.
He's got more value if you know he's not going to start or play because of Carlos Correa. He's got more value getting reps and taking swings. This is, I think, what they need to do with Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis is not ready, not because of him, but because of Carlos Correa. You don't move the kid over because they don't do, see, the Astros do this, Eric. The Astros play players in multiple positions. So if they had a versatility aspect to him and they felt like he could be serviceable in another position, I guarantee you the Twins would do that. But there's no need to rush this kid. He's one of the top guys. I mean, you may bring him late when rosters expand, things like that. Carlos Correa, I doubt he moves at the trade deadline, which would be kind of a weird twist of fate for Carlos. But get this, Carlos Correa leaves the Astros, tells Jeremy Pena, you're the shortstop of the future. He meets Royce Lewis last week. What happens when we find out for the year? He's like, Royce, I'm going to prepare you. You're the shortstop of the future. I'm out.
That would be totally funny. He'd be like, hey, yeah, I'm betting on myself getting the money. And I'm Royce Lewis. You're the Astros of the future. And speaking of being out for the year, Jake Odorizzi, what's his status? We'll discuss that in a second. And let's talk about Bet Online.
That's right. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. The Astros, before the season, had about a 70% chance of making the playoffs. Now they have a 93% chance of making the playoffs, and it looks like they are on course even with the loss today. So go to Bet Online. It's where the game starts.
All righty. So speaking of where the game starts, a lot of people have been worrying, where did Jake Odorizzi's injury start? And a lot of people suspected that they heard a pop during the game. And I know you said, well, how can people hear a pop? But apparently Jake Odorizzi swore he heard a pop.
Now, he heard a pop, and him saying that is way different than someone on Twitter going, I heard a pop.
Oh, I know. So, and Jake Odorizzi said on Wednesday that he heard horror stories from other players who suffered torn Achilles tendons. And he said that he felt a quick, loud pop in the back of his left leg. Dull, aching pain followed. So this is what he had to say. I was just hoping it wasn't my last pitch I threw this year. That was the reality of the situation. It's in the area, and I couldn't really move it at all that well, nor did I want to. I know the symptoms of what could happen, so I thought maybe if I don't move, the next one won't set in. So basically, they did the MRI on Tuesday, and it revealed no damage to his Achilles tendon. He said some of the I love this. He said Odorizzi said some of the tendons and ligaments are unhappy. But the diagnosis arrived as a best case scenario for a situation that looked like it wasn't going to be season ending. Basically, he could come back at some point. So, and they're that now it's no longer discomfort. They're now calling it a tendon strain.
Okay, so on the official MLB Houston Astros injuries report, it says this. Updated on Wednesday the 18th, lower leg, injury status, expected to be out until at least July 1st. And that's an official MLB report. So he will not be here for May, June, or July, or until July starts. July 1st is the earliest he's expected to be back. Here's the thing. You want him completely healthy when he comes back because of the run he was on. The tough part of this, Eric, is when does McCullers come back? And what happens if you have both Odorizzi and McCullers coming back around the same time? You know what I'm saying? You got two guys coming off of injuries coming back. I think the Astros still have to start thinking about at the trade deadline, are they going to go for another starter? Yeah. Because if you gamble on two guys that are coming off injuries, and the probability of both of them making it back and being strong competitors is not likely. It's possible, but you better bet that they are going to be looking. And here's what I didn't think about, Eric, until I saw, and I would give credit to the journalist who said this, and maybe it was John Morrissey or someone. They said the free agent market is going to be white hot because more teams than ever are going to be gunning for playoff spots. And I was like, oh, that's right. More playoff teams. More people are going to be in the trade market. Oh, crap. So it's going to become more of a chess match than it's ever been. So,
yeah. So the Astros have a good history of going out there and making trades for somebody with multiple years of controllability. So that's why I see the Astros going after. A name that's come up recently is Luis Castillo with the Reds. He's somebody the Astros can go after. He's not having a great, great season, but he's somebody that the Astros could kind of watch and see how he does as he's recovering from his injury to start the season. But Odorizzi said that Odorizzi was basically in a boot today. He's lost the crutches. He's walking around. He's basically focused on pain management, working on a range of motion, stabilization, and strengthening. As somebody who's dealt with injuries in my Achilles after having Achilles tendon surgery, I kind of, and I'm wearing a boot for, I don't know, how long did I wear a boot for? It was, what, 2 months or something?
Yeah.
I can see where he's going to be in. But so, yeah, this is going to be an upward battle for him. But if anybody can do it, it's a professional athlete and not this dude who's still dealing with that issue.
Well, right. But, you know, also, too, Eric, he's got tons of specialists right there at his side and working daily. I mean, it's way different when athletes get injured than when someone like you or me gets injured. You know, if I'm playing beer league softball or playing in a men's rec league or something.
Or tennis league.
Whatever, you know, whatever it is, lacrosse, tennis, pickleball, whatever sport you cats play out there. But look, here's the deal. We saw tonight that this is baseball. This is baseball where you have your highs and you have your lows. But what I like about this team is even in their lows, even in their losses, I still know that this team still has it in them to come back the next game and beat up whoever they're playing. For example, in this case, the Texas Rangers. They fare well against the Texas Rangers at home. I don't see any issues with them winning all the games against the Rangers. And even if they rest these guys, you're going to have guys out there that are motivated to play. And so who knows? Maybe Dubon comes in and hits a walk-off single or hits a walk-off home run. You know what I'm saying? These guys are going to step up. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the lineup is, where Dusty puts people. And, I mean, if Bregman's probably back in the lineup, I think, because he rested today. Bregman said he worked on his swing today. He said he thinks he fixed what was wrong with his swing. He said there was a hitch I heard on the broadcast. So I think you'll see Bregman back tomorrow. Maybe Bregman takes one deep in the Crawford boxes.
Yeah, I know he's 4 for his past 25 with 6 strikeouts and 6 walks. So he's at least seen the ball well. And he said the last few games have been bad. I've been laying the bat down behind me and working with our hitting coaches today in the cage and pinpoint why. I changed one little position in the start position with my wrist. I feel good. And this is what Dusty Baker had to say about tomorrow. I love this quote. You ready?
Thoughts by Dusty.
I'm not going to tell them until after Wednesday's game about them. A lot of people getting day off. That's like telling someone you're going on vacation tomorrow. You don't tell them you're going on vacation. You don't need them going on vacation mode before it starts.
Okay. I was like, wait, you don't. So, yeah. Hey, boss, I'm not here at work today. I'm on vacation. I meant to tell you yesterday. No, I understand what he's saying. You know, Dusty, he's had so many years on the, I mean, he's been playing baseball as long as we've been alive. I mean, that's outstanding. I mean, this guy is audio gold. So going in to this series, you have Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Justin Verlander, and Jose Urquidy. So I like the lineup. I really want Christian Javier to come back and have a bounce-back game. Framber Valdez absolutely does not need to lay a stinker. After Luis Garcia, we've kind of seen these two kind of go back-to-back where they don't do great together. You need to build up that momentum again, get them back in that winning mindset. The bats need to heat up because Justin Verlander's the third game of the season, and Justin Verlander needs that run support. But this first game, Eric, is Framber Valdez versus Glenn Otto, who's got a 6.38 ERA. Then Javier versus, you know, Perez, who's 2-2 with a 2.01 ERA. And then Justin Verlander is going against John Gray, the guy that the Rangers put a lot of money into. He's 1-1, 5.73. And Jose Urquidy at 4.8 versus Taylor Hearn. I like Taylor Hearn because we hit him very well. He, you know, it's funny. He had a rough outing and then the Rangers came back and had like a 5 or 6 run, 8th or 9th inning the other day, came back and won against the Angels. The Angels were up 5-1. They ended up winning 10-5. But when Taylor Hearn pitches against us, he does really well, like gives up a lot of hits. So I think the Astros are going to take it to the Texas Rangers this week.
All right, to kind of close out the show, I want to have an always positive, always Astros by Eric moment. In the last 14 games, Jose Altuve has 7 home runs. So he's back, baby. Where's Aroldis Chapman? He's ready to hit some home runs off of you. Come on, let's go.
That's right. Where's Trevor Story? I know he hit a home run off of us. All these guys, Eric, the Astros are 13-2. since Altuve's been back from his injury. They've only lost two of the 15 games that he's been back. So as Altuve goes, this team goes. Yordan Alvarez, he'll probably get a rest. But with Framber being out there, are they going to put him in left field? I don't know. I'm just saying, what is Dusty going to do? That should be the end of our show. What is Dusty going to do next?
Yeah. So that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. We'll be back again tomorrow following tomorrow's Rangers game. Hopefully we're talking about a victory, because talking about a defeat, two games in 3 days is a sucky feeling. So the Gostros, and my name is Eric Heisman. His name is Brett Chancy. We are the Locked On Astros podcast, and we'll talk to you later. Gostros.
The man.